What do you think will actually then be the final option here? I realise this is a normal, almost impossible question, but it feels as though we are reaching an end game here just because of the deadlines that are in place. But essentially we're boiling down to, as you say, the various policy options which are being put forward by the government in all their different forms are things which won't work with what the EU has already said on the other side of negotiations. That means that you're kind of starting to boil down with crashing out without a deal, which, you know, industries have come on this programme to say would be disastrous. You have some kind of indefinite transition period, or Theresa May having to break a red line and move into something like the European Economic Area.
Yeah, essentially those are the choices. Crash out without a deal, which some of the extreme Brexiters would be perfectly happy with, but I suspect the rest of the country would not. You know, that kind of the figures for the damage that would cause are horrendous. Now, you know, then they always go, oh, Project Fear, it wouldn't be like that at all. But, you know, there is a risk that crashing out with no deal would indeed cause enormous damage to ordinary people in the UK. I'm not sure that any government realistically want to risk that. Versus crossing red lines, particularly on immigration, but not exclusively, on the ability to strike your own trade deals as well. I suspect we are going to end up with, you know, the EU's favourite answer to everything, which is to kick the can down the road forever. And I'm sorry, I think we are going to end up in this kind of limbo, just not unlike a different version of Greece, isn't it?
So a future importer of EU fudge, you reckon?
Essentially, yeah. You know, we are going to be, we're going to kind of dance to their tune, even after we've left.
If that was to be the case, then, I mean, obviously, in terms of how Greece has fared over the past couple of years, the politicians there have switched, but many have remained in their roles. I mean, do you think that, you know, given, as you say, this is a domestic policy issue as well, that politicians want their parties to survive, they want to remain in their roles, do you think that is something that Theresa May could really believe she could survive?
I've no doubt that Theresa May believes she can survive. There's some evidence that an increasing number of members of her party think she can't and shouldn't. There are calls for her to go. The problem, as always, is who replaces her. And I think if she did go, then whoever replaced her would give a much clearer indication of where this will end up. I mean, it's interesting you gave sort of three scenarios, and in a way, those three scenarios kind of represent, it would be kind of represented by the leader of the Tory party. So Mrs. May is the limbo candidate. She doesn't realise it, but she is. No, maybe Jacob Rees-Mogg would be the crash out without a deal candidate. And I don't know, maybe somebody on the Remain side, maybe Philip Hammond is cordially hated by everybody in the Tory party, as far as I can see, but some other person who voted Remain and has been quite strong Remain. So, I don't know, Anna Soubry or something might be the, you know, the party for crossing, the candidate for crossing red lines.
Yeah, it's interesting just how quiet that arm of the party has begun, that it is difficult to imagine a particular candidate for that slightly more business-friendly side of Brexit, that slightly more business-friendly direction, considering the party that we're talking about.
I think it's bizarre the way the Tory party has essentially morphed into UKIP. Extraordinary. It's now the party of Brexit, not the party of business.